Welcome everyone to the Awesome Bros podcast. Today we are so psyched to have a beast on here, George Campbell, coming from the world of Dave Ramsey and everything personal finance. We're so glad to have you on, George.
Listen, it's an honor, and I think that's the first time I've been called a beast, standing at 5'6", so I really appreciate that.
You got it, man. You listen, personal finance is a big thing. You deserve to be called a beast for that. We can learn so much from you. I'm sure our audience can learn a ton of information from you. So let's get started. I mean, the first question I have for you is, what got you into bettering your personal finance and improving that side of your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. About 8 years ago, I kind of stumbled into this place that's now called Ramsey Solutions. And I started as an intern here, and I really didn't know much about money, right? I grew up with immigrant parents who kind of adapted to this American culture. And I never had this formal education around money, much like many of the people listening out there. They're going, yeah, I didn't learn this stuff in high school. And what I learned from home was just kind of watching my parents handle money, which they probably never learned it formally, right? And so we kind of learn all of these things from culture, from our parents, from school, from our friends. And it's just this weird collection of bad financial principles that we start to live our lives by, right? And so when I got to Ramsey, I started hearing all of these things called debt-free screens, where people would come visit from all over the country to be in our lobby on the Ramsey show and talk about their journey from being in a pile of debt to now having a positive net worth and not having any payments to make to anyone anymore. And so that was so inspiring to me to work for a place that had that kind of mission. And so I decided to go all in. I was like, well, if these principles work and this is a place that I believe in, that I work at, why don't I try it?
Yeah.
And so I started following what we call the 7 baby steps. That really is the fastest surefire path to wealth, to financial freedom, something that all of us want, right? We all want to have options in our lives. We want to have that freedom. We want to have meaning and purpose and significance, which is stuff that you guys talk about on this show. And so really getting started, it was a thing where I went, let's test these principles. Yeah. Let's see if they really work. And it turns out they do. And so that set me on a path for the last 8 years of really putting these principles to work. And it changed my life.
That's incredible, man. That's such an empowering story. And it's funny that you mentioned that we get kind of an eclectic like feedback of information that's just passed down to us, maybe from our parents. You know, our parents were also immigrants as well. And, you know, the real actual principles to accumulate wealth aren't really passed down. It's just what you know that gets you to scrape by, right? So, you know, that's a huge thing. So is there anything that you think particularly out of those 7 steps is very profound that worked really well for you? Or is it the combination of all of those?
I mean, I think that there's the overarching path. And I think if you zoom in on any one principle, you can start to go, wait, that doesn't make sense. Mathematically speaking, that's not the right way to do it, which is so funny, right? We start doing math when it comes to other people's plans and principles.
Yeah.
But really what we teach is that it's about behavior change.
Okay.
And so the one that really sticks out to me where you go, what's the one that really is different out of all of them? And I think it's baby step 2, where we teach people to pay off all of your consumer debt using the debt snowball. And what's interesting about the debt snowball is mathematically, it's not the smartest way to pay off your debt, right?
Yeah.
The debt snowball teaches you to ignore the interest rate completely on all of your debt.
Yeah.
Pay the minimum payments on everything except for the smallest debt. And the smallest balance you attack with a vengeance. With every ounce of energy and money you have, you can scrape together by slashing your budget, slashing your expenses, your expenses, working, you know, side hustles and bringing in extra income.
Of course.
And really attacking that smallest debt so you can feel the progress. Because once that smallest debt is knocked out, you have a little pile of money you were throwing at that debt, plus everything you were putting towards it. And now you can use that towards the next debt and the next debt and the next debt. And you can see why it's called a snowball, right? You pick up more snow as you start to make that progress. And so a lot of people, they say, well, the debt avalanche method is really the smartest way mathematically, right? Because you pay off this highest interest rate debt first.
Yes.
Whether that's $1,000 or $20,000. But what the problem is, people get stuck. They go, man, $20,000 is just
great point.
A lot. I feel like I'm not making progress because a lot of it's going to interest and it's not going down fast enough. And now I'm not going to do it, right? It's like a diet. If you start a diet and 6 months in, you're not seeing results, you're probably going to quit that diet, right?
Exactly.
And the same thing applies to money. So the debt snowball really is, it's the most powerful principle, I think, in all of the baby steps, because getting out of debt is the biggest paradigm shift and biggest game changer financially for people. Absolutely. To set them free, not only free them up financially, but free them up on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a physical level. It does something to your spirit when you get out of debt and you realize, like, the borrower is slave to the lender. And as long as you have payments and as long as you owe someone money, you're not truly free and not truly in control.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it any better. I mean, the momentum is so important. That is such a key thing, because so much of this goes back to behavior, right? Less about the math, more about the behavior and how you feel. Once you start to make baby steps, you'll get more momentum in the right direction. And that's why that's why I think the seven steps are brilliant, especially the snowball effect, because it's literally that. As you keep going, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it's, you know, super powerful. So
yes, it's brilliant. It really is.
So a question for you. Why do you think personal finance especially is important for not just us, but for everyone, anyone that's listening?
Well, you know, I think people can get obsessive over this idea of, like, well, you just care about money and you're so obsessed with personal finance and money. Mm-hmm. And really, I've realized it's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about money being a tool to give you that option, that freedom, that meaning that we talked about earlier. And so once you realize that personal finance is really the path to get what you want out of life, not using it as a shield or as a weapon, but using it as a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool. You can do good or bad with money.
Absolutely.
And money really just, the more money you have, it just makes you more of who you already are. And so if you're a generous person, you're going to be real generous when you have a pile of money. And if you're a greedy person, giving you a ton of money is going to make you even more greedy. And so the reason why I'm so passionate about personal finance is because I see my generation held back from the things they want to do because of money. They can't start families. They can't buy houses. They can't go on the vacations they want to go on. They can't retire early because they haven't got their money under control. And so for me, money is just like, let's get that foundation going where you have taken control of your money. And yes, then we can attack all these other areas of life with so much more momentum, like you're talking about earlier. It changes the way we see our careers, our social lives, our families, our health. Everything changes when we have our money under control and we don't have that stress and anxiety looming in our lives.
That's such a good point. I mean, you said that perfectly, because a lot of times we can get kind of caught up in the idea that if someone is so focused on their money, all they care about is money. But in reality, money is only the means to an end, right? You have a drill at home. The drill is neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it that matters. You can destroy, you can either destroy things or you can build things with them. And that's what money is, right? And your point on how it exposes people for who they really are is so true. Money just gives you more power. It's just social currency, right? So the more good and the more service you provide for others, naturally, the more money's going to come back to you. And put that out there through charity, through anything that you want to do. So it's so important to get organized with that. So I love your point on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like we talk about it being a brick, right? A brick is amoral. It doesn't have any morals, but you can use that brick to throw it through a window, or you can use that brick to build a home or build a hospital. And so it's really a powerful tool when you think about it in those terms, where we're not here to obsess about money. We're here to give you the best life possible. And until you get control of your money, you're never going to get there. You're never going to find true happiness just through dollars. You're going to get that with the right motivation. So really, it starts with the right why behind. Why do you want to get out of debt?
Yes.
Why do you want to buy that really nice car? Is it to impress people?
Yes.
Is that why? Well, that's going to lead you to unhappiness. That's going to lead you to a big pile of debt if you're going to be chasing around, you know, social influence. And so I want people to chase after the right goals and use money as a tool to get there.
That's awesome. That's so cool. So jumping off of that, what are some tips or tricks that maybe you've learned along your journey that you could share with the audience on how to figure out how to use money as a tool instead of them being a slave to their money?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it starts with the biggest life hack is kind of telling the truth to yourself and really looking at the fine print behind some of the myths that we have learned from our childhood and in our adulthood when it comes to debt. I think that's the biggest paradigm shift people need to start making, is not seeing debt as a friend, not seeing debt as a tool, and seeing debt for what it is.
Yes.
Debt is an enemy who is out to steal your paycheck. Debt makes other people rich and keeps you broke. And until you agree on that, we can't really have a discussion about money, because you're going to keep doing things your way. You're going to keep taking the shortcuts that you think will lead you somewhere. And what I found out, because I went $40,000 into debt through student loans and through credit cards, and it led to anxiety. It led to misery. It did not lead to what we call financial peace, which is what I want for everyone. And so there's a few myths that I think people need to kind of turn on their head before they can really take control of their money. And number one is the credit score. People love to obsess over their credit score. I got a 760. I got an 800. How do I get my score up? Oh, no, my score went down. And they check their apps every day to see if the score went up or down.
Yeah.
And until you realize that you don't have to play the game, you're going to keep losing the game, even if you have an 800 credit score. Because we know, when you really look at the fine print, that a credit score just tells you how good you are at handling debt. It's just your relationship with debt. And if we already agreed that debt is off the table and that's not a path to financial success, then we can then say, then the credit score doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter either. And the biggest thing that people say is, well, George, what am I going to do without a credit score? I can't get a car loan. I can't get different kinds of debt. How am I going to rent? How am I going to rent a car? How am I going to buy a house?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found over time is I didn't have a credit score for years up until when I got a mortgage. Because when you get out of debt, eventually your score disappears. It's called indeterminable. Mm-hmm. So after about 6 months of not having any debt in your life, you don't have a credit score anymore. And I was able to do all of the things that people said you're not able to do, and how your life is ruined if you don't have that credit history and that credit score. I was able to rent apartments, rent houses. I was able to rent cars. And I was even able to buy my house without a credit score. So there's ways around it, but people really aren't doing the research, and they're not looking into creative ways to get around this. Because once you decide, I'm not going to be a part of the system,
yeah,
this toxic money culture that says you have to play by our rules and we want to own you through payments. Once you decide I'm not going to play their game, you find ways around it all. And so I think the credit score is probably the biggest one that we need to tackle as a generation and as a culture.
That's a great point. I love how you said that. I mean, it is very, very important that people focus on the right thing, right? The misinformation is oftentimes what leads us to this kind of thing, right? The credit score, although important, people overemphasize how important it is. Oh, I need this to have everything. In reality, you don't, right? But it's the misinformation that leads people down the wrong path. I mean, it's a good way how you said that. Your credit score is literally just a score of how good you are at handling debt. If you eliminate that part of your life, it no longer needs to be there.
Exactly. And so for people who say, you know what, I don't want to get a car loan, I'm going to save up and pay cash for that car.
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to do manual underwriting to get the mortgage, where it was like the olden days, right? Where banks used to look at your financial situation and say, okay, Shintel, you have an income and you've paid your utility bills on time. Here's a loan for the house because we know you'll pay us back. But over time, the credit bureaus and the lenders realized, oh, this is going to be way easier if we can just use this score.
Yeah.
And of course, all of the debt companies are happy because now you're swiping that card and going into debt and getting the car loan to keep your score up.
Yes, there you go.
And so we call it an I love debt score because of that, because that's all it really is. And if you look at the percentages, 35% is based on your history of debt.
Yeah.
35%. Another 30% is your current debt level. Another 15% is how long you've been in debt, right? And so you're seeing a theme here where it's like, oh, I'm hearing the word debt every single time.
Yes.
And that's because it's only measuring your relationship with debt. And so that's what I'm saying around this paradigm shift of saying, hey, if we're saying we're going to live a debt-free lifestyle, then we don't need to be so worried about our credit score. And it's okay if it goes down, because soon it's going to go away. Now, I don't want you to have bad credit.
Yeah.
That's very different. That will make your life more difficult if you have a bad credit score where you haven't been making payments at all. So I'm not saying ignore your debt. What I'm saying is pay off your debt and then forget about debt for the rest of your life. And that's a very different mindset.
That's a very different mindset. It's about the focus on the actual financial situation, not the credit score, right?
Yes, you're looking at a bigger picture here of what it takes to get to financial freedom.
That's exactly true. Are you making income? Are you making your payments on time for your utilities, whatever things that you use every month? You can have a good credit score, but still have bad financial habits. You know, you can spend $2,000-$3,000 a month on consumer spending that you don't pay off, and your credit score will still remain good in a lot of cases. So
yeah,
it's about the root. It's not about fixing the sink. It's about fixing the well. So that's a great.
We've got to get to the root of the problem. Exactly. And really the root here is live on less than you make. And people go, well, that's too simplistic. It has led to a lot of people becoming millionaires.
Absolutely.
Following our principles, and all the principles boil down to that. Absolutely. Live on less than you make, get on a written budget, get out of debt, stay out of debt, have an emergency fund, start investing as early as you can once you've done those things.
Yes.
And it will lead you to that financial freedom.
Absolutely. That's for anyone listening right now. That's the 15-second blueprint on how to,
I don't have a big course to sell you. That's it. This is free advice. You can get it on the Ramsey Show any day you listen. And people say, Dave, you're always saying the same thing. And that's because our principles haven't changed in the 30 years that Dave's been in business. And it's for a good reason. They work. We don't need to change them.
Of course. Yeah, that's so true. The tried and true methods are always true. And it's especially important. And this is a big reason why we do the podcast, is because now consumer debt is higher than it's ever been, right? There's not that much friction in order to use credit cards. It's so easy for people. So
they've made it easier than ever. You can get all kinds of debt and credit cards right from an app in 2 seconds. You can apply
very easily. So it's very important that we talk about it. And for the generation that's coming into this, not realizing how destructive it can be to not live by those methods, right? Like if you're spending more than you're making, that's a guaranteed formula to not have anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, social media comes into play, where, I'm watching all these TikTok videos and people are trying to keep up with trends and impress their friends. And it always leads to making poor financial decisions.
Absolutely.
When you start to make decisions financially based on what other people are going to think. And so I want you to have tunnel vision when it comes to your financial goals. What do you want from life? Absolutely. And chase that down instead of going, well, my buddy's got a house already. Look at the car he got.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about your buddy. You don't know his financial picture. He might be in crippling debt and have anxiety, but he's on Instagram posting all these fancy photos and fancy restaurants and all these things. You don't know the real picture behind it.
Exactly. That's so true. So jumping off from there, I want to ask you, how did you find, through this journey of personal finance and other things that you were doing in your life, how did you find your one thing that you love to do, like your passion, something that led you to doing the things that you're doing now?
Yeah. Well, I told you earlier, I started here as an intern. And starting as an intern, I worked my way into marketing because I always loved reaching people with a message. That was always something I loved, whether that was marketing that message through social media, whether that was being a musician where I create music and I get to share it with the world. I loved creating something out of nothing and then spreading that message out there. So that led me into marketing here at Ramsey for 4 years, which then led to a hosting role where I was hosting our live events, hosting our video channel. And all of that was being upfront and getting to be a part of that experience for people to connect with this message. And so doing all of that and really getting on this plan that we teach, I got so excited about spreading that message even further.
Okay.
And so that's led me to where I am today as a Ramsey personality, getting to spread this message in all kinds of creative ways. And being a millennial and having my perspective, I found, man, there's an entire group of people who I could reach with this message if we do it in a different way. Maybe we get more creative. Maybe we should make some entertaining videos over here, make some TikTok videos. And so that's all the stuff that I'm so excited to explore, because I think everyone out there needs to hear this message. It's not for a certain type of person.
Yes.
It's for people who want to get better with money. So if that's your type, it's for you.
Yeah.
And if you want to keep following the trends and falling for the traps, that's fine. But this message is for people who are ready for a change, who have tried their plan. Because let me tell you, I tried my plan for years and I realized it sucked. Yeah. My plan led me to $40,000 worth of debt, wondering, is this what my life is? I feel like I got dealt a bad card, right? When you go through high school And culture and family, they tell you, just work hard. Go to the college of your dreams. Life will be okay. And I realized it was all a myth. And there's a $180,000 price tag attached to the college of your dreams. And it's not worth it. And the college degree doesn't have the value that it once did. And so all of those factors come into play where we have an entire generation of people who feel dejected and they're cynical about the world, about society, and about their financial life. And so what I want is to take away all the cynicism and go, hey, I know that you feel like you got burned. And I know that you're sitting here with a pile of debt going, how did I get to this point? Yes. But I want to tell you there's good news. There's a way out of this thing and you can take control. And until you believe that you can take control, your financial situation will never change. Because it's always going to be someone else's fault. It's always going to be someone else's problem to fix. You're always going to be waiting on the next president to forgive your student loans, right? Yeah. We see this kind of stuff every day.
All the time.
And so I want people to take that personal responsibility and realize I'm the problem and I'm the solution.
Yes.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's a very, very empowering thing. I mean, it's so important, especially even now, right? Like you mentioned a college education, right? The $180,000 price tag doesn't equate to $180,000 salary. So it's even more important now because the debt is being used for, you know, for nothing. I mean, in some cases, if you have the wrong degree, you're not going to get a fraction of that back. So combine that with the frivolous need to spend, well, you know, more than what one's making to just keep up with Instagram. You're in a position of like, that's a terrible position to be in. The good news, however, is that you can fix it. There's a way to do it. And that's why it's so important. Like that message is crucial.
Absolutely. And you know, the best way to do it is to avoid it. Right. And so that's why we have a new high school curriculum that I got to host where we're trying to teach this stuff to high schoolers so that they can avoid all the stuff that I had to deal with, that people older than me have had to deal with, because that's going to set them up for success way better. I mean, they're going to be able to retire at 48 if they follow this stuff when they're in high school, right? You're talking 30 years from now. Where could you be if you never touched debt? You started investing early on. You had that emergency fund. 30 years from now, you're going to be a multimillionaire if you do this stuff.
Yeah, easily.
And so that's what I'm so passionate about, spreading that message to high schoolers. But then for people my age who maybe they graduated and they're going, hey, I've got this pile of student loan debt. I'm living my life on credit cards. I got to keep up with my car payment. Oh, and society's telling me now's the best time to buy a house, even though I'm broke because interest rates are low, right? And so we start to make these decisions based on what's happening in society and what our family is telling us and what our friends are doing. And that's going to lead you down a really dark path where you're going to wake up one day and go, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. I'm staring at a mountain of debt and I'm just going to die with this debt.
Yeah.
That's what people get dejected for. And so we did a podcast series called Borrowed Future. You can find that on Ramsey Network. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just search Borrowed Future. And it was an 8-episode docuseries on the student loan crisis that I got to host. And we interviewed experts. We interviewed people who went into debt and are dealing with the ramifications of that. We interviewed people who went to college debt-free and are living amazing lives. We interviewed people who got out of debt. And so there's all kinds of stories there that I think will open people's eyes to the student loan crisis. And there's something for everyone in there. It's going to inspire you to get rid of your debt if you have it.
Yes.
And make you go, wow, I did not realize how toxic the entire student loan industry is. Yeah. From the colleges to the student loan companies, there's so much stuff that we uncovered. So I encourage anyone, if you're on that path or you already have student loan debt, go listen to Borrowed Future. It's 8 episodes. And it will change the way you look at debt. It will change the way you look at student loans.
Love it. That's an incredible resource for anyone that's listening. We'll be sure to drop that in the description so anyone can take it.
And it's free. I mean, people assume podcasts are free, but sometimes you got to say it out loud, of course. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, man. That means a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So last question for you. Leading to your internship and then your role in becoming a host, right? How important and significant do you think like doing what you love meant to you at that time?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of people out there are doing things that they have to do.
Yeah.
And it is so heartbreaking because we see how personal finance plays a role in that, right? People are doing it because they need the money. Mm-hmm. And they can't jump ship and go do what they love to do because they're not in a good financial place. And so we teach people, you absolutely should do what you love to do. And one of our Ramsey personalities, Ken Coleman, he's got a show called The Ken Coleman Show, where this is all he's doing every day is help people find that purpose and map out a plan to get there. And guess what? Money always plays a part in that. And so why is it important to love what you do? Is because I don't want to be like, you know, some of the older generations where you're looking at our parents, they didn't get to do what they love to do. They're not pursuing their passions all the time. Some of them are out there and they had to do what they had to do to take care of their families. And they worked the same job for 30 years and they hated it. Mm-hmm. And so I think our generation is seeing what happened there and they're going, I don't want that. That's not for me. And so I think it's great that young people are going, you know what? I don't have to work a job I hate for 30 years. Yeah. I can go do the things I want to do. And the key to that is having a great financial foundation.
Yes.
If you want to be a YouTuber, that's great. If you don't have any payments and you've got 3 to 6 months of expenses and you want to hustle and grind and make that your side job while you work this job over here, you can do that so much easier than if you have a pile of debt because you got some degree over here and then you all of a sudden decided I want to do something totally different. And so do the research.
Yes.
Do the heart work of going, what is that thing that burns inside of me that really lights me up? What's the thing that I would do for free today, forever, if someone let me do that thing? And a lot of times people realize it's not always as sexy as it sounds, right? I was a musician. I thought playing music is my passion.
Yeah.
And then I realized a lot of being a musician when your salary is depending on it is booking gigs and marketing. In the business side. And if you don't like that stuff and you can't really delegate it, well, that's 80% of being a musician.
Yeah.
5% is playing on a stage in front of people, right? But it's the stuff you're doing outside of that. It's the practice, it's the rehearsals, it's the songwriting, it's the marketing, it's the networking. And so you've got to look at things realistically. And if you want to be a YouTuber, it's the same way.
Yeah.
90% of your time is going to be spent making great content and scripting it out and coming up with the ideas. And a lot of the time is going to be spent editing. And about this much of it is going to be uploading videos and getting all of the, you know, accolades and all the likes and the comments. And it could take 10 years. And so I want people to be realistic about it.
Yes.
But also don't settle. And if you really want something, I found that you'll find a way to get there. And if you don't, if you're not willing to put in the work, you probably didn't want it badly enough. And maybe there's something else out there for you. But absolutely, the earlier you can figure that out, the better. So you don't spend 15 years wandering in jobs that, you know, you're going, this isn't for me, this isn't for me. And so the earlier you can do all that research and try all the things and go, this is really what lights me up, that's when you're going to be on a path. And financial freedom and getting that foundation set before you do all that is going to be a huge help to propel you forward.
Absolutely. That's such a great way to explain it, because so a lot of times that people, especially I've seen it, right? Like right out of college, my friends would make their decisions on which job to pick solely based on the amount of money it was paying. So that's okay. I mean, if you like the jobs equally, that's okay. But the better way to handle that or make a judgment about that is, what do you like doing more, right? Because eventually that's going to lead you towards more purpose and more passion towards what you like to do. And that'll open up more opportunities. So the reason why personal finance and all of this stuff is so important is that financial foundation that you refer to is going to help you remove all that pressure of, I have to pick the job that pays the most. And instead you can focus on, what do I like? What, when I wake up in the morning, what's something that excites me that I get to say, I'm going to tap dance to work, not, oh my goodness, I got to go to work.
Oh yeah. You know, it's funny. I think previous generations, they were in a survive mode. They were trying to survive. And we have the luxury now in 2021 where most of us are trying to thrive. And so we have the luxury of going, what is my purpose? And how can I live in that purpose regardless of how much it pays? But I think a lot of people are going, well, I got to pay my student loans. I got to pay my car note. And so I'm going to go find the job that pays the most, even if I'm miserable.
Yeah.
And that's a surefire path to misery long-term if you're just going to go do something for the money, even if you hate it. And so I don't want that for anyone. And there might be seasons where you're doing stuff you don't want to do to pay off that debt.
Yes.
To build that financial foundation. But once you're through with that and all of your income comes to you and you don't owe anyone anything, man, it gives you some options. And that's what I want for this generation or for any generation is options. We want to be able to decide. I want to be able to do what I want to do, not do what I have to do.
So true, man. Oh my goodness. There were so many gems in this episode. I'm just so psyched. I know anyone that's listening got a ton of value from this. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing that, George. That was amazing.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be an honorary awesome bro just for this short amount of time.
Absolutely, man. We have to do this again. We'll come see you in Nashville. That would be fantastic.
I'd love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, man. Everyone listening, that is the Awesome Bros podcast for this week. Thank you guys so much. We'll be sure to drop the resources that George offered in the description box. If anyone wants to check them out, please do so.